Seems like travel requirements change every day, and up next we'll talk about what you need to know as you plan for travel in the next few months. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for spending some of your time with us on the Ideas Network. Our guest, Carrie Mulliken, has been with us a few times now. She's president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts. She has offices in Waterford and Union Grove. And we'll talk with her about what the travel industry is like right now and what may change in the next few months. So, what concerns do you have about travel? What problems have you encountered when planning your trip? Love to hear from you. What would you like to know about airline travel, for example? You can call 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Carrie Mulliken, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Larry. Thank you for the invitation again. Glad to join you.
One of the most important things we need when traveling is our passport. How long is the wait to get one right now?
Generally, if you do not expedite, you need to expect and plan for 4 months. If you expedite, we could probably get that down to about 3 months, but it does require an immense amount of planning these days.
Wow. And why? Do you know why?
I think just the influx, it takes them, you know, maybe a little bit longer, maybe the staffing issues like others as well, probably a variety of reasons. Holidays are coming up.
And, you know, there's a concern, too, if you've got your passport, but it's getting close to expiring, what advice do you have there?
That's correct. We suggest, just because it's required by multiple countries, that you have at least 6 months validity post-travel. So in other words, if you're returning on, you know, July 1st, you want to make sure that you have validity on that passport 6 months past July 1st.
Okay. And is there a time when you can use your driver's license instead of a passport?
Primarily, that would just be on cruises, along with a birth certificate, where the cruise starts and ends in the same U.S. port. However, with everything that's happening with COVID today, we suggest traveling even on a cruise ship that would allow a birth certificate and a driver's license to still obtain a passport book.
Okay. And I'm still wondering, what's the latest on the real ID requirement?
So that has been postponed. Initially, it was supposed to go into effect October 2021, and that's been postponed once again until May 3rd, 2023. And that'll be a requirement for domestic travel.
You know, the other day on the phone, on the show, we got into a little discussion about traveling and smartphones, and I'm wondering your thoughts. Having a smartphone, very important when traveling these days, I think, anyway. Are there certain apps that you should have downloaded before you go?
I would strongly suggest if you are flying to have the airline app downloaded. And then most importantly, make sure your notifications are turned on as well so that if there's a flight delay, you can receive the automatic push to your notifications. Oftentimes people will load a app, but they'll forget to allow the notifications to appear. I mean, I completely agree with you in terms of the smartphone. These days, even when you're out enjoying some leisure activity, you might go to a restaurant where they may not have paper menus or physical menus where you might just scan a QR code, and then that's how you view the menu, and that's the case traveling these days as well. It's super important to not only have the smartphone, but know how to use it, be sure you have a QR code reader on it, or in the case of like an iPhone, know how to use that.
And what if you don't have a smartphone?
You'd want to definitely print out the paperwork ahead of time, but often I just returned back from a trip to Mexico about a week ago, and it was alarming even through the immigration process, customs process, how much of that is driven from smartphone capability.
Okay. You mentioned Mexico, and I was just reading somewhere that Mexico, I think, is the most popular destination, foreign destination, for U.S. travelers. And I see the State Department now just came out with a warning for travel to Mexico. And I think it had to do with increasing crime and kidnapping and then the higher COVID. boy, a situation like that, that calls for some care if you do go. And then you want to make sure your insurance is, you know, going to handle it. And I wonder what you need to consider there.
Absolutely. I think two things to consider in terms of popularity. Mexico and Dominican Republic are easy winter destinations. I know a lot of, the public is wondering, where can we go if we want to escape the Midwest winter? And Mexico and Dominican Republic are both good options that do not require the advanced COVID test prior to departure. So these days, you have to test to get back into the United States. Those rules have recently changed from 72 hours prior to your return to 24 hours prior if you're unvaccinated. So it's, a lot of times people make their decisions on travel on, you know, what do I need to do to complete and how can I minimize the red tape prior to departure. So Mexico, when you bring up that being a popular destination, I think that's definitely played a role in that versus some countries where, A, you can't travel if you're not vaccinated, and or some that may require a prior to departure COVID test and then another COVID test to get back into the United States.
Yeah, so there's, there's lots to think about anymore when it comes to travel. Of course, we couldn't do any traveling for almost no traveling for such a long period of, COVID that it's, what are you seeing? Are you seeing a lot of increase now coming back in terms of travel?
Absolutely. We've had clients personally travel, if I think back to the last couple of weeks or even couple of months, we've been able to assist clients with really great vacations to destinations like, Ireland and Italy and France and Egypt and, a variety of international destinations where they returned back from those trips and were really encouraged and said they had fabulous experiences. So I think you can still travel internationally. It's certainly much easier to travel if you're vaccinated. There tends to be less restrictions for those that are fully vaccinated. And a fully vaccinated traveler is somebody who has had both of the two shots, and then that the second one has been taken at least 14 days prior to your departure.
Yeah, and if you've and if you're eligible, that booster isn't a bad thing either.
Absolutely, and you had mentioned earlier about travel insurance, and that's really critical. I think if you're going to travel in today's world, you really need to be prepared to know that there might be a rule in effect or policy or protocol when you first make your reservations, but that protocol may change three times before your departure. So you just really have to be able to pivot and stay super informed and make sure that you are insuring your travel plans with a policy that would cover your biggest fears.
Let's take a call. Wayne in Columbia County, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. My wife and I are going to Norway this spring on a tour. Is there anything we should for?
Anything to look out for? A tour, and you're already signed up, Wayne.
Right.
Okay.
So I would just heavily rely on your tour operator, to provide you with updates. Generally speaking, we're a culture that likes to be really informed and likes to be informed, 6 months in advance, 4 months in advance. In our situation, we're generally updating our travel clients about 2 to 3 weeks before departure because it's critical for us to make sure you have the latest information. So do, even though you might check something 4 months before, like I said, you have to be able to pivot and you're going to want to recheck whatever the current policies and protocols are as you get much closer to departure, because likely they will be different than when you first made your reservations. I would primarily just really ask questions about their travel insurance and what that coverage involves. Also, are there any apps that you need to go to or website you need to go to register to get into that country? There's a lot of safe health passes that are required when you're traveling outside of the United States to various countries. So you're going to want to make sure some of those are very much time-driven. So some may be you have to upload a negative COVID test or your vaccination card X amount of days before your departure. So that time frame changes. Sometimes they want that 72 hours before departure. Sometimes they want that 72 hours prior to when you arrive in the country. So on an international flight, that can be a span of a difference of, 8 to 10 hours sometimes.
Good points. And, Carrie, I guess that's one of the, as I hear you talk, I think that, okay, here's one of the real advantages of having a travel expert or an agency helping you out on travel.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, just like any other serious, I guess, investment in your life, you know, maybe planning a wedding, you might want a wedding planner. Maybe doing your taxes at the end of the year, you might want to have an accountant do those versus your own. You know, often we can all do our own if we put enough research in. But often these days, especially when it comes to the COVID protocol, there's a lot of conflicting information. So you want to make sure you're working with a trusted source.
And then if something happens, you've got a place to call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that happens often.
Yeah, and then it's and you see that as part of your job then.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that's a good thing when you're interviewing, you know, a travel advisor that you're interested in hiring. Those are some of those questions that you want to ask them when you're, you know, when you're away on travel. How can they reach you? Like, for in our case, we have an app that we give to our clients that's a free app that they can actually message us in destination right through the app. If they have a 24-hour emergency, we have an emergency line that we access. It doesn't go to an off-site 800 number for someone to access. It's actually the advisors that worked on your trip that are contacting you in those times of need. So very different.
Yeah, very different. Carrie Mulliken, our guest, president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, offices in Waterford and Union Grove. And she'll be with us right up till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back with Carrie. And you can call in right now if you want. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking about travel on the show today, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Back with us, Carrie Mulliken. She is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts in Waterford and Union Grove. What travel questions do you have? I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Lots of added steps at airports these days, Carrie. How early should we get there?
I would strongly suggest, depending on the size of the airport, as an example, Chicago O'Hare, you want to arrive for an international flight at least at a minimum of 3 hours before departure, where domestic, 90 to 120 minutes for domestic type itinerary staying in the U.S.
So that's, I know there are people who like to get there at the last minute, and that could be a big mistake. And, you know, airlines are offering upgrades. You see that. Often a day or so before the flight, you can have a chance to upgrade. Are these usually a good idea?
I am a complete believer in those. So a few different things that sometimes, you know, you may not be aware of is there's opportunities to really decrease some of that wait time. As an example, maybe you want to apply for TSA PreCheck, and that'll help get through those security lines. Or maybe if you're traveling internationally, you might want to apply for Global Entry, which would then give you TSA PreCheck included in that overall cost. When I was traveling to Mexico recently, I had upgraded, which allowed me access to a business class line that had many less passengers standing in it, like maybe 20 passengers versus the 300 that were standing in line for the, you know, the economy class. So although that might involve some additional expense, it may very well be worth your time and your ease when traveling. I believe that when you travel, your vacation should start at takeoff. So we want to make that airport process as easy and as simplified as possible, and sometimes upgrading to the next level of class may be helpful.
Yeah, and that TSA PreCheck, is that worth the cost in your mind?
It is, absolutely. I completely believe in that. Yeah. I use it myself personally. What some don't recognize is that, you know, TSA PreCheck will work on domestic, where Global Entry will work on international, and then you get the benefit of the domestic as well.
Richard in Fort Atkinson has a question, I believe. Let's go there. Richard, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and Carrie. How are you today?
Great. Appreciate the call, Richard. What's on your mind?
Well, I am leaving December 20th for Lima, Peru, and I've been there several times. I'm just curious about things that I should have my head up paying attention about. I do have a TSA, and I am flying business class. So the things that you just talked about, I've already got checked. I'm so new to the TSA. I'm curious, can you tell me, is that something I need to do? How do I go about making sure that I've got my TSA in line before I get there?
Absolutely. So on your airline reservation, there'll be a location where you can enter in. They call it a couple different things. Maybe known traveler number is one of them, typically KTN number. So you just want to make sure that you're adding it into the reservation process. And if you're not seeing that, then just reach out to the airline and ask them to add that to your reservation.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Good luck, Richard. Sounds like a fun trip. Thank you. John in Lewiston, Minnesota, on to you now. Hi, John.
Hi, I appreciate the content and the show.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Definitely. Friends and I are looking to travel to Tahoe in March, and just we missed flying the last 2 years just all the pandemic stuff. And wondering, there's no longer direct flights from Minneapolis to Reno, and wondering when maybe flights like that from, you know, major cities to maybe not a huge major city might be reopening up in the next year or some, if at all.
Yeah. What do you think, Carrie?
Hi, John. I think that we continually, and I say every week, continually deal with schedule changes as these airlines are working hard to relocate planes and different sized aircraft into markets that are profitable for them. So we see, you know, addition of that on a weekly basis. I think it really is going to depend on supply and demand. Air travel is very much a supply and demand type business, and the goal is to have those flights, you know, flying full. So I think it's just a matter of time when the demand, maybe that's a seasonal demand for Tahoe. Otherwise, you might want to take a look. You know, obviously, Chicago O'Hare is quite a distance for you. It may or may not make sense to do that connection. It could be that you book a connecting flight, but then maybe a nonstop becomes available at a later time, and you can maybe work with the airlines to try to change to get onto that nonstop flight. These days, you know, the requirement of the airline is to get you from point A to point B. So you could even, that could work the opposite, where you start your reservation process with a nonstop flight, but then prior to departure, it moves to a connecting flight. And the airlines have the right to do that. So that's something else to keep in mind when you're booking your travel.
Oh, okay. John, good luck with that. Thank you so much. Jennifer in Sparta emailed to ask if you have suggestions for good places to stay in Detroit.
So it would depend on what the reason is for visiting Detroit. You know, is it just a stopover destination? Is it something where you want to be close to the airport versus want to be, you know, in a downtown area? So that's a tough question to answer without some additional details, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. She's interested in getting, it sounds like they're, well, it is hard to say. I don't know. Do you have any ideas if you're, say, want to go downtown?
I think you're always safe when you stay with some of the chains. You know, boutique hotels are also nice now because there's typically less occupancy in those boutique hotels. So that would maybe be something you'd want to start with and kind of narrow the process down.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. I want to go back to that TSA for just a minute. I heard that some credit card companies will reimburse you for that cost. Have you found that to be
that
true?
That is correct.
That
absolutely,
is?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know, not to mention all of them, because there's a ton out there, but I happen to know that, you know, Chase Sapphire, I believe, does a reimbursement. Capital One may have one that does a reimbursement type process. You're just, you know, charging it to that credit card, and then they're reimbursing you. So definitely worthy of checking with your credit card company.
Let's take another call. Jimmy in La Crosse. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, this is Jimmy. Yeah. So, you know, what worries me right now is, you know, like a lot of people are concerned about the lack of truck drivers because we can't get our stuff. And so the same thing is true with pilots. There's not enough pilots, and the industry is hiring really incompetent people and kind of running them through and checking boxes and pretending that they know how to fly airplanes. And so, like, if you look at, like, the MAX, for instance, the 737 MAX, so you can say what you will about Boeing and all that, but really the thing is, neither one of the captains, not just the FO, but the captain, in either one of those cases knew how to fly his airplane. Both those airplanes went into the ground with the throttle in the full power takeoff detent. They both went into the ground at over 650 knots, and that's just unacceptable. I mean, when you have a problem in an airplane, you know, first thing you do is bring the throttle back, eh? But
yeah, well, thanks for calling, Jimmy. Let's get a comment from Carrie. Skill,
you know,
of the pilots.
That's a tough one because I haven't, you know, read that particular article personally, so it's hard for me to comment on that. But what I will say is, you know, I've got many friends in the industry that are pilots, and it's a very prestigious job, and there's a lot of responsibility with that. So they really do, as a general, take great, great pride in their safety requirements when they're responsible for that many passengers on board. So, again, I haven't read that article, unfortunately, so I can't really comment on that specifically. But I would say that, you know, I travel quite often, and I feel incredibly safe.
Yeah. Yeah, a good friend of mine is a pilot for Air Canada, and I'd certainly trust him anytime I got on the plane, that's for sure. Thanks. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, by the way, Henry emailed the Madison Post Office. This has to do with renewal of passports. He said they told him 3 months to renew his passport. He mailed it in October, and he got the new passport back in November of 2021 after only 4 weeks. So sometimes they can get through pretty quickly.
I would agree that at times that can happen, but our experience, and we're tracking this quite a bit with our clients as we make reservations, you know, we're starting to see it improve a little bit where a non-expedited passport is closer to 3 months, but I really would not bank on that because we recently had a client who did not allow enough time, and we have canceled a few trips by clients that had booked, felt like they had given it enough time, did not receive the passports back, and we had to rebook all of their travel plans. So I would err on the side of caution with that.
Okay. What are, Julie in Wisconsin Dells emailed to ask what the restrictions are to travel to Cape Town, South Africa. She just received her passport and planned on getting a ticket to visit a friend in March. Should she wait? Does she just need a COVID test?
Again, that's going to be a tough one to answer. These protocols are changing weekly, monthly. So we look every single passenger's details up specifically through trusted sources, not only when they're booking, but then many times throughout the process and, again, prior to their departure. So often it will depend on whether they're vaccinated or not. So that might be something she would want to reach out either to the airline or if she worked with a travel advisor to get the most current information. Or she's welcome to give us a call, and I'm happy to run that over with her.
Yeah, and so, and you, and your website, we can find it at Bon Voyage World Travel Experts. If they type that in, I assume that's going to get to your site.
Absolutely. Yeah, the URL is bvworldtravel.com.
bvworldtravel.com. Okay.
Correct.
Jeff in Superior. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, this is a very interesting topic. I just want to chime in. I got a couple quick things in my opinion, and you can tell me what you think. I think it's important when you're traveling to plan ahead, like 6-7 months in advance, maybe a year. I learned that from being a fan of horse racing. I recently flew from Duluth, Minnesota to Los Angeles for $250 round trip because I bought my ticket 7 months in advance. So you can find deals like that. And another one, I flew from Chicago to Paris on Lufthansa. We were going to get a connecting flight in Frankfurt, Germany. But by the time, I bought it 6 months in advance for $500. By the time our date of departure came, the airline bought our ticket back and gave us a free round trip direct to Paris. So we actually flew to Paris for $99 round trip.
That's a pretty good deal, Carrie.
Jeff, I love your comments. Those are fabulous. I completely agree. You know, how the airlines typically work is, again, it comes back to that supply and demand. So generally speaking, if there's a lot of available seats on an aircraft, you can expect to pay less. As that aircraft starts to sell out, those remaining seats become more expensive. So what probably happened in that later scenario was maybe it was an oversold flight, or maybe they had to change aircraft type. We talked a little bit about that before. You know, maybe they have an aircraft in that market that is larger occupancy or capacity, and then they reduce the size of the aircraft so that new aircraft becomes oversold, and it sounds like they needed that space bad. So you definitely benefited from that.
You bet. Good going, Jeff. Thank you for calling. Pete in Northeast Iowa emailed to ask if you have any tips for traveling internationally with young children.
You know, I think the normal policies in terms of, you know, it tests that they can wear a mask as long as they need to, I guess, depending on the age of the child. You know, I think we're in an environment now where children are used to wearing masks in school, but depending on the age of the child, just to make sure that their tolerance is going to make it through the flight. There's nothing worse than really trying to accommodate a child that's really upset on an aircraft and there's no place to go. So that would probably be one. You know, make sure that they've got plenty of activities to do on board. You know, pack maybe appropriate snacks. These days, the airlines have really skewed back and the snack and meal options that are available. So maybe having some of their snacks that they love most would be helpful as well. And, you know, good rest, maybe the same adage of chewing gum on takeoff and landing. You know, those would be maybe some of my immediate thought ideas.
Yeah. Very good tips there. Pete, good luck traveling with those youngsters. Mike in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. My question is, how is it legal for the airlines to strand you anywhere in the country when there's nothing your fault? The last two times I've flown have been stranded in miscellaneous places around the country with no help whatsoever from the airlines to even remotely accommodate you. And one of the times I was on a wheelchair and crutches, they saw me coming up to, they were supposed to give me a wheelchair and they didn't. And they saw me trying to get my way up to the gate, and literally right as 20 feet away from the gate, they shut the door and said, "Nope, we're full." And they let me sit there and then told me that there's no other flights to get me to my destination. They could get me out in the next 3 days.
Hmm. Well, that's not a very good experience. A comment, Carrie?
Yeah, you know, I can appreciate what you're saying, and I'm sorry that you had some bad experiences. What I would suggest is just when you're working with an airline, be sure to check out what they call their carriage of contract. So it really is just, you know, what their policies are going to be if there's a flight delay. Often their ability to assist you or their ability to admit fault will often rely on, you know, was that flight canceled or delayed due to a mechanical issue, or, you know, maybe a crew issue, or was it related to a weather issue? Because the liability on the airline is very different with each one of those scenarios. Often we have clients where, you know, they'll have a flight delay, or they'll feel like, you know, the flight's been canceled. We'll tell them to get into the airline line, and we may not be able to change it for them, but we can go on our computers and we can tell them exactly what to ask for when they get to the counter. And often lately, they generally pass their phone to me, and then I'll have a conversation between the gate agent, and we'll brainstorm the best solution. So earlier you had mentioned about having somebody as your advocate. You know, often people think they can book an airline ticket, and it's super simple to do, and it is on the front end often. But when cases like this come up, it's really nice to have somebody as your advocate.
Yeah, for sure. Also, just handed the phone over. That's pretty cool. Jim in Coleman, hi.
Hi, I just had a question about proving you're vaccinated in Europe. I know it's kind of a hassle. Each country's got their own way of doing it. But I had heard there's work to get something that works throughout Europe. And I just wanted to know if you had any information on that.
At this point, I believe it is not. It's not fully developed yet. Generally, it goes by country by country. As an example, France just did a change probably in the last 4 weeks where you have to get a healthy pass, and you get that healthy pass at one of, 400 locations when you land in France that validates your vaccination card. So that continues to evolve. And to my knowledge, there's not one standard pass for, all of EU countries or whatever the case might be.
That's something that would be much appreciated down the road for sure. Jim, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You know, one of the just disturbing things that I've noticed is noted in the news is the number of people who are slugging flight attendants or just acting like idiots on the planes.
I would agree. I had a conversation when just recently flying with some aircraft crew, and it was alarming what I heard. And the reality of it is you do something like that, and it's a felony. So you really have to think through whether your future, I guess, criminal record is worth whatever the argument is. It really is best to just comply.
And what's going on with the cruise industry right now?
Absolutely. So one of our team members was just sailing with Royal Caribbean. She happened to have been on the Navigator of the Seas in November. It's a great experience on board. However, it does require vaccination. So when we talked earlier about some of your travel options being limited if you're not vaccinated, this would be one of those cases. Generally, 12 and older must be fully vaccinated. But where else can you go and have, paradise and know that everybody that's in your immediate 10-foot radius is vaccinated. So I think there's definitely some very good positives to cruising right now. You just have to be able to go through the protocols.
Yeah, and someone else is wondering, when should we be booking our vacations?
Right now, one of your callers, I think Jeff perhaps said that, booking early and planning is critical, and I couldn't agree more. You can at this point book into 2022 for sure, but also into 23 and 2024, depending on if you're interested in a river cruise or maybe Alaska. We've got, a lot of pent-up demand and a lot of people who those trips were canceled, so they have vouchers that they need to reuse by expiration dates. So that new inventory is going to sell quickly via a variety of those things.
Yeah, that's for sure. So you need to get on that right away. And the cruises themselves, somebody else, I mean, are they really fun?
Absolutely. I mean, her experience was excellent cuisine with some modifications. The buffets, as an example, was something where someone dished it to your plate versus you holding, the utensil and going down the line. So there's going to be some variations. But in terms of cuisine, in terms of entertainment on board, she had a fabulous experience just with some modifications. So as an example, maybe you need to wear a mask when you're going through a public area. But when you're on that top deck and, feeling that vitamin D sun, you're able to take your mask off. So we've had many travelers return. And as I mentioned earlier, the response that we get back when clients return is, thank you. We had a fabulous time. We're not hearing, boy, I wish you would have talked me out of that travel trip. We're hearing very much the opposite.
On that note, Carrie, I will thank you very much for being with us once again. Hopefully you'll be with us again, and we'll look forward to another conversation.
I would love that. Happy holidays.
To you as well. Carrie Mulliken, president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, offices in Waterford and Union Grove. Great to have her with us, and she'll be back and we'll do this again with her. Looking ahead to tomorrow at 11, Phil Pelletieri's back to talk about insects that may have come in with your plants or the holiday greens. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, hey, look at the afternoon. There's lots of good things in store for us here on the Ideas Network. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.